This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation of Heart Grants is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Collect, Nassau Cruise Port, and Wendy's.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
When I'm walking down them rocky, narrow dirt roads with a basket of potatoes on my head, oh, don't you worry, I come from down home. That's where the island folks bake their potato bread. They bake it down home, outside in the Dutch oven down home, wrapped in banana. They play at the neighbor's bar. They'll make you dance down home. They'll send you in a trance down home.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Brennan, your company, live in full effect on this beautiful Thursday afternoon right here in the land of the living. You know, only a handful of us could say that loud. That's how it feels. We're here. We're doing our thing. The papers actually speak to it. Two more shot dead. Four murders in 3 days. Absolutely bananas. We started to talk about this thing yesterday. And this is kind of the time that we always take to kind of, inhale and understand. This is Thursday, the very first Thursday of the year. And as we touch the papers and feel its expansion, its depth, its, you know, the weight, the volume that exists there, we know that this is more than just supplements. These are our brothers and sisters that passed away. Talk to me about it. Our brothers and sisters who are gone on before us. And so I always like to kind of take this time to kind of, you know, be sensitive about the fact that Thursday's paper, especially for old people, children, is the paper that you want to kind of pick up for the obituary section to identify those things. And if you're one of the persons that are dealing with a loved one being lost, the transition of a loved one, and you want to be able to put them down, because it's important that you do that and capture the kind of style, the character of their life, I always tell you to reach out to my very good friends over at Butler's Funeral Homes and Crematorium. Butler's Funeral Homes and Crematorium, they take very, very good care of you and being able to capture and encapsulate the life that was your loved one. Make sure you reach out to them. They're on Ernest and York Street. They'd be more than happy to assist you in those areas. Also, During this time, it's very important. I know it's post-holiday, but we're still getting ready for another holiday. And as we transition to another holiday, all your ham and turkey gone, your children just going back to school now, so they eat everything out your house. My God, only the bone in your fridge now, you're trying to boil that. You need to stop, okay? Go down to Milo B. Butler and Sons. Take good care of you, man. You get yourself some wings, get yourself some meat, some spare ribs, whatever you got to get. Do your little boil up, get yourself prepared for this cold weather. Put some dumpling in it. They got all sorts of great things there over at Milo B. Butler and Sons. They are located on Blue Hill Road, headed north on the right-hand side, just before you get to Meadow Street. You can be able to see them on the right-hand side right there on Blue Hill Road. They take very good care of you. Let Alan Butler know that Howard Grant sent you and you're looking for some slackness. No, just let him know that you're there and you can be able to take care of those things. And last but definitely not least, I want to be able to give a shout-out to my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They are there, got everything taken care of for you, for all those persons who need insurance for their vehicle, life insurance, car insurance, house insurance, all these particular things. They got great things there for you, great packages. Just ask for those persons, whether it's Mr. Richardson, whether it's Ethric Bowe, they can be able to assist you right there on number 407 Blue Hill Road South. That is AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They'd be more than happy to assist you. I got a couple of reads here. I got to be able to read this before we get into the show because I want to thank these persons for being able to sponsor the show. And they want us to let you know, click live read. This is a read here. So this is NASA Cruiseport presents Phil Stubbs live at the amphitheater on Saturday, January 13th. Join Phil Stubbs, Niecy Ellis, and Ira Store at the Spank Band for an amazing night of pure bohemian music, sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. General admission is going to be $50, VIP $75, and the Sky Pods also available. Get your tickets now at Bahamas Tickets, Bahamas E-Tickets, BahamasEtickets.com. That's Phil Stubbs and the Friends live at the Nassau Cruiseport on Saturday, January 13th. Don't miss it. And also, the Nassau Cruiseport itself wants you to know the exact same thing. Nassau Cruiseport and Zaymar Production presents Phil Stubbs live on January 13th. Also performing Niecy Ellis, Iris Store, the Spank Band. Tickets $50, general admission, VIP $75. Available at BahamasEtickets.com, at the Plantation Bar, the Grill at Cave Heights, and Miniso Mall. I don't know what it is. And Marathon, right? So you can be able to get that and take care of those particular things. The doors are open at 7 p.m. They want you guys there. They're pushing this really hard. And Phil Stubbs is the guy. You want to be able to go down there and be able to get some good down-home flavors and good feel. And also, I'm excited about the amphitheater also. Can I say that? I want to see exactly what's what. I didn't have an opportunity to go down there. We did have last year, during the Christmas time, we did have the Nassau Cruise Board come and sit with us and invite everyone out to movie night, so forth and so on. So it looks like they're going to be doing a great deal of things down there. I'm excited about that, and I'd like to check those things out also. Well, guys, that's it today. Well, we are here in this kind of a space, and as we transition into the new year, we always take this time out for the first week of the year, right? This is what I've done. My wife says to me, she says, I always like this, that you've done this for the past 3 years. You've taken the time in January, at the beginning of the year, to really be able to bring pastors on, preachers on, those persons who could be able to speak from a spiritual perspective to sort of realign the country. I feel like it's a refreshing thing. I feel like it's about revival and restoration. And that is exactly what it is. And I didn't even tell her to say this. This is an exciting thing. And today is just being able to travel that course. We started a conversation on Monday with Ambassador Devin Rowe, and we want to be able to continue that throughout the entire week. Today, I have a very good friend in the house. You would have heard him with us sometime last year as he came on and being able to speak us more specifically. This is a wonderful opportunity, and I felt the necessity. I had to reach out to him to be able to bring him back here to have this conversation with you guys. There's not going to be Small Business Thursday today. I know that you're looking forward to Small Business Thursday. Next week, we got everything set up. All those persons are kind of geared up to go with me January 18th, so we can be able to take it from there. January 11th, I'm sorry, we can take it from there. But today, we're going to be able to talk more specifically about what we started as it relates to Resolve to Evolve. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to none other than Pastor Dr. Clifford Smith. My brother, how you doing today?
I'm wonderful. Happy 2024,
I'm Mr. so happy Grant. That you're here with me.
Hey, listen.
This is exciting.
That feeling is mutual.
This is a very exciting thing.
I listened to you over and over, and I love your perspectives, the way you think, and I love where you're coming from. And so all the best for 2024, my brother.
Thank you so all very kindly. Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to talk to you about this like this, right? I wanted to touch this with you because you and I, and this is one of the real, you know, sometimes you find that you feel like you have kindred spirits. When you and I had this kind of a conversation and we engaged and really started to talk with each other, I don't know whether or not the baby leap, this is exciting stuff, right? I don't know what this is, but I said, it's always exciting to be able to find those persons who connect, you could connect with, because as we travail through society, there is so much pessimism that we have to push past. Mm-hmm. There is so much doubt that we have to push past. Uh-huh. As we go through our phones, as we go through social media, just on day-to-day life, we have to push past pessimism. And it's not that we cannot see that these things are up. These are evident. They're tangible. We could touch it all more. Uh-huh. But we have the responsibility for being able to speak positively uh-huh. and being able to speak those things as though they were. Uh-huh. And so I wanted to call you to talk to you about that today. I sent some stuff to you, and I wanted to be able to talk to you more uh-huh. specifically about 2024, our year to resolve to evolve and realign ourselves with some goals and development for internal growth and development, uh-huh. for community, for this kind of expansion internally. Talk to me about your perspective on those things.
Well, first of all, one of the things that I love about the Bahamas is that we are a people that have our faith and our spirituality based in Christianity. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it really gives us access to the God of the Bible, who through Jesus Christ has made it possible for us to have a hope that the plans that he has for us are good plans. Plans to give us the kind of outcome, the kind of positive, life-giving future that is filled with possibility. And when we base our trust in, you know, his determinations for us, I think it gives people a better perspective while they're going through. Mm-hmm. Because life is such that we cannot avoid going through. I mean, that's just how it is in the world. This world has been caught up in the fallenness of humanity, what's been going on. People are people. And you're going to have difficulties, you're going to have storms, you're going to have this, you're going to have that. But if you always keep in view, I always say we talk about the silver lining. You know, we always talk about what's across the horizon. If you stay in the frame of mind that the God that we serve through Jesus Christ is a God that wants us to have better and have more and wants us to be in a place where our lives become a watershed of blessing for others, then every storm that you're passing through, you will remember in the midst of the pain of it to learn from it, but to know that at the end of it, this is not God's. This here, the storm that we're going through, the adversity we're facing, is not God's perfect will. It's just his permitted will. So we're going through some stuff for now. But as you go through, you're learning discipline, you're learning obedience, you're learning trust, and you're learning to see how God, even in the midst of adversity, would give you strategy to bring you to a place where on the other side, I'm going to do things differently from what I did before.
I like this. I like how you start to talk more specifically about being able to go through, which is a sense of endurance. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of persons, that continue to be able to travail through this tribulation that's happening both locally and globally. Mm-hmm. And it feels like, insurmountable. It feels like, so weighty mm-hmm. that there's no end in sight. So people kind of throw up their hands. Mm-hmm. Is that, just to be able to kind of piggyback off what you said, is that as a result of not being able to devise strategy as you go through?
It is as a result of not being able to devise strategy, but it is also coupled with your sense of identity and who you really know yourself to be, you see, and who you can see yourself being. Not in the here and the now, but in the future. I always believe that one of the best ways to go through life, and I'm going to use a word, I hope people don't get lost. One of the best ways to go through life with God is to be an existentialist. So you're in it, but you're learning from it, and you know that on the other side of it, you expect to be better. So every fire up that you go through, it, one fire comes to melt off some things, another fire comes to make me shiny. Mm-hmm. So I keep going. It's like the bowl in the hands of the potter. You know, one firing comes to make the clay hard, the other firing comes to make it shiny. Mm-hmm. So you keep going through, but your sense of self and your sense of perception of who you are mm-hmm. has to be that I am becoming better as I go. And so I'm not expecting to stay where I'm at. The problem is when people get to the point where they can only see where they are and they believe that what they're in now is prescriptive rather than descriptive. Mm. When I use those words, I always say, you have to describe what you're in now, but remember, what you're seeing now is not prescriptive of where you're headed, especially if you're trusting a God that's giving you better, showing you more, opening doors, rescuing you even from, you know, calamities that came about as a result of personal decisions. One of the things I love about the grace and the mercy of God is that God chooses, you know, mostly bad boys to bless the most.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That's something I often tell people this.
Yeah.
I say this. Mm-hmm. I know people can cuss me and that theologians can cuss me.
Good.
I feel like David was one of the biggest cussers in the world.
Man, come on.
He would cuss easy. I will kill everything that pisses against the wall.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I say to myself, I said, this is sort of the modified version because I know David cuss. Mm-hmm. I know these things. Mm-hmm. And it seems as though these troubled men, mm-hmm. right? The fishermen. Nobody's cussed more than fishermen and sailors and so forth and
Simon
so on.
Peter and them,
right? Mm-hmm. These troubled men had conviction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were committed. Mm-hmm. And this is who God needed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is who he came for, not the wishy-washy people.
Because
mm-hmm. only two things you could be used, mm-hmm. whether you're cold or you're hot.
Right.
That kind of a lukewarm thing that a lot of us live in this society,
mm-hmm.
you find yourself being spewed out.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that. I want to talk about conviction. Because a lot of people in this particular time, they have this sort of this resolution. They're making resolutions. And some of the resolutions are just topical. They're surface resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
They're superficial, not necessarily being able to really reform anything mm-hmm. from a spiritual perspective, from an internal perspective. They just want to be able to, child, I want to see if I could be able to lose 5 pounds this year. Child, these are very good goals,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
does it really reform society?
Mm-hmm.
Does it really change us to the course that we're supposed to be able to move forward, upward, onward together? Talk to me about it.
You see, this is why I found what you are doing as a part of, you know, this third estate to be so powerful. Because, Howard, you want people to think wider than just your personal here and now goals.
Right.
Right?
Right.
People have to have a why. Okay, I want to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? Because here's why. Because I believe that my main purpose as a man is to raise up sons and daughters.
Mm-hmm.
If I am not healthy mm-hmm. enough to carry the anointing and carry the responsibility that God gave me, then I am cutting short the possibility of how I could be used by God.
Absolutely.
So when you're thinking about, okay, I want to lose weight, I want to pay off my debt, I want to do some things, ask the why and make sure that the why is big enough that you see yourself making a valuable contribution. I want to be healthy and strong long enough so I can raise up sons and daughters. What does that mean? Not have more children. I can be a mentor in the lives of my grandchildren and possibly my great-grandchildren.
Wow.
If I live longer. See, I have to have a purpose. That's all. You just have to have a wider scope purpose to why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. And if you have that wider scope purpose, some days when you get tired and you fall off the wagon, that wider scope purpose will be the why that make you get back on.
Take you right back to where you're
mm-hmm.
supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited about this conversation. We're going to just put the foundation out there today and get the base out. After we get this particular base out, then we find ourselves in the position where we want to be able to get you to participate. We want you to do this and be able to be here. Yesterday, we saw something. If you pick up your Guardian newspaper, it is heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
Yesterday we were here, we talked about this particular thing, and now we're here and seeing today, splattered all across the page, what happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Two more shot dead. Now I want to talk about this mm-hmm. because I can get deep. I can get deep.
Mm-hmm.
I can get deep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to, but I have to.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there is a
war against family. Okay? The very first thing that we saw is a son snuff out his father.
His own dad.
His own father. And now we're seeing this presumed, assumed couple being snuffed out. I don't know if they're married. I don't have another business. I don't know their business. All I know is this male and female snuffed out, gone. And as I look at this as the beginning of the year, especially for superstitious people, right? We hate to say it, but it's true. We try to make a determination as through this introduction of what our expectations could be for the rest of the year. We've now stepped over the threshold into a new year, into a new space, and the first destruction and calamity across the entire country is these particular things out of the city of Nassau. Talk to me about what the expectations are for this year. Not necessarily you know, anchored in what's happened at the beginning of the year, but what has been released in the spirit to say that, okay, hey, listen, there is opportunity, there is growth, there is access, there is this, there is that. What do we collectively have to do to find ourselves in the space and place to align or realign to get to where we're supposed to be as a nation, as a people?
Let's jump back into it with that bigger picture, that why, and let's talk to male men. What our country needs now more than anything is alpha males that will understand the position that they ought to occupy in order to make the kind of contribution that alpha male fathers and coaches need to make for the country. The reason I say it like that is because sometimes when we look at the criminal element, here's a statement that I think and I hope makes sense. To avoid criminality among men, we must begin to teach accountability and responsibility among boys. And I think sometimes when we look at the criminal activity, we're only looking at the back end. We're looking at law enforcement. We're looking at jails. We're looking at the judicial system. We're looking at the back end. We're looking at the interdiction of crime and criminal behavior. But what I think 2024 for the Bahamas has got to be is a year when we decide that we're going to give primacy to the family, primacy to three institutions, the family, the church, and the school. Now, I'm going to tell you why. I believe that at the front end of developing males to be the kind of alpha males that we need as fathers, as coaches, as husbands, as brothers, as sons in our society, we need to go back to the tree, go to the boys, and start really investing more time in boys' programs at the church level, boys' programs at the school, boys' programs, you know, in the families. We need more of our men to recognize. And this is, you see, when you see a criminal adult male, that criminal adult male didn't just become a criminal overnight. This started down the road. Okay, here was a boy who was either rejected or neglected, or a boy who was abused. A boy who was just left to his own, you know, vices. And when you see that, what normally happens is where the alpha males are missing, right? What happens is the gangs and the little pimps and the this and the that, they become his community. They become his support system. And so he learns things from them. Next thing, now we got a young man who can't travel because he got a record. Then now he's out of the school because he's in trouble. He's, you know, and that continues until he's to a point now where, and I'm going to say this, there's so many young males that need coaching and, you know, guidance in our country, but many of them in their head, you know what they're thinking? I got to do this for myself, boy. I got to make this happen. So they out there, and they hustling, and they ganging, and they doing whatever they got, they think that they need to do, because somebody dropped the ball. And I want to bring it back to us as alpha males. I think that more and more of our men have got to recognize, why am I a male man? I need to be home. I need to be wherever my children are, and I need to take the responsibility to remember that women birth and nurture children, but men are, and I'm going to say it, I don't want women to hate me for it, but men have a type of parenting paradigm, mindset-wise, and the mental capacity and the mental toughness for it that's different from women, that children need. And it's not just boys, it's girls that need their fathers. So at the family end, we got to do more for our families. Now, Howard, that could go way around. I mean, we need more family education programs, but we also need, for example, I've been saying simple things like in the public service, we got to be careful how many, you know, police officers and defense force officers and customs officers and immigration people we sending out, and we sending them to the key for 3 months, and 3 years later they still there. Yeah, but his boy at home, he's 14, and he's living alone with his mother, and his daddy's out there.
Administrative accountability.
Yeah,
it's heavy what you say.
Yeah, but see, if we think about it that way, then we'll see the bigger picture and say, hold on. Let's look across the civil service. We have enough people who either don't have the children yet or they're past that stage of raising the children. And we're saying, okay, you're senior. Let's think more about, what's the word I'm looking for? About assigning and sending these kinds of people. Why? Because our focus is on the family. I don't need Officer so-and-so who got a 17-year-old son, who got a 13-year-old son, who is in the very critical stages of his teenage life. I don't need us to be moving him and leaving his son without him for such long periods.
I like what you say, and I want to talk about this. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be a part of the conversation. Focus on family, right? Men, alpha men need to get back home. We're talking about family and alpha males understanding their positions, accountability to being taught to boys. This is important stuff. I love this stuff. I'm writing everything down, guys. We're going to be able to dive deeper into this conversation. Let me take this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and be right back after this.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation.
The foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The foundation. Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Spice up your taste buds this season with the new Jalapeno Rodeo Burger at Burger King Nassau. Each bite of the Jalapeno Rodeo features a classic flame-grilled beef patty, pepper jack cheese, crunchy fried onions, and a spicy jalapeno kick, topped with barbecue and chipotle sauce served on a soft potato bun. The Jalapeno Rodeo Burger is even tastier in a combo with our new half-seas, half onion rings, and half french fries with a drink, or cool it down with the new and delicious creamy floats collection at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Thursday afternoon here, January 4th, 2024, in the land of the living. You should slap yourself. Not too hard, but you live it. My God, you could feel that. Yeah. I'm here with none other than Dr. Clifford Smith in here. He's my cousin. I might as well tell you that. You know, he's family. I told you that. My granddaddy is a Smith.
Yes, sir.
I told you that. Okay, yes, 3 years ago.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, sir.
He's my family. He's all the way here from Southside Christian Church in Dignity Gardens. And he's really being able to talk to us about some stuff. He played some things on the table, and I put some bullet points to it. As he's speaking, I'm just writing these things down because I got to be able to kind of reinforce this and make you to understand that this is the crux of the matter. This is the core of the conversation. This is the foundation that we're talking about. The first thing he hit on is that alpha males needs to be able to understand their positions. Accountability must be taught to boys to create the men's society envisions. And investing time with young men programs. These are all important. That men, alpha males, need to get back home. And there should be a significant focus on family. This is heavy what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. one of the things that I've talked about, mm-hmm. and it kind of, you know, traveled with me from last year, we've broken up community.com. I sent it to you, how I texted to you. Mm-hmm. I wanted you to understand that. That calm and unity. We as a society are not united collectively. And I don't know, I'm not one of these persons who can be able to identify from the numbers to identify whether or not this unity or breaking up thereof has come out of the house. But I know we collectively as a society, we don't break bread with each other anymore. We don't break bread. We don't go sharing. We don't engage with each other. The last time we've had any true, genuine approach to unity would have been pre-73. Post-73, mm-hmm. the next time we saw any significant push, it came from a political standpoint, mm-hmm. and the country shifted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From a political standpoint in 1992, when we saw what the Free National Movement could do after 25 years,
mm-hmm.
a lot of persons invested their time, effort, and belief into the political system,
mm-hmm.
and rejected, my God, let's get deep quick, eh? And rejected. They rejected, not necessarily this hard and fast,
mm-hmm.
but their commitment to the church one time ago would have been all in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it has been, you know, wishy-washy over the years, mm-hmm. and now it seems like it's not even evident.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that unity and community and how we break bread and commune with each other to be able to get to the position that we were called to be.
I think that your answers and the question, I only want to reinforce it by simply saying that I believe that this is a time now for these same alpha males, for the most part, who are in charge of the ecclesiastical arena in our country, in the church, to be asking the question, what am I doing with these people when they come before me every week? Because what we put into people, what we teach people from the principles of the kingdom that come from the Bible, this is what's going to create that mindset for unity. And that mindset for community,
mm-hmm.
that's where it comes from,
mm-hmm.
you see, because if that's not happening, then we ourselves are missing, you know, the mark. And I think it's critical because people probably need to be taught another way of looking at the value of the church, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What is church really about? It's not a religious experience. And I think for a lot of time, in a lot of ways, a lot of the denominationalism has pulled us into it being more of a tradition for this one, a ritual for that one, and so on and so forth. But we miss the main goal, which is the investment of kingdom principles and kingdom thinking into a people that need community. I'm using your word.
I like this. I like this.
If you invest the principles, then the members of the community make that community all the more rich. Make sense?
Yes.
And I think what we need to be saying to Bahamians, you know something? Church every week is an opportunity in a group coaching exercise that brings you and keeps you aligned with the mindset that you need to have in order to make the kind of contribution that should be made to your country.
I'm looking at that and I'm thinking about church, mm-hmm. from the traditional standpoint that we know, from the religious standpoint, mm-hmm. from the rhythm that exists in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of time, I think the way that the church engages the community, the clergy, the population, the way that they engage have shifted.
Mm-hmm.
There's been one point when we knew what to expect. There was righteousness, there was holiness, there was this sort of segregation, separation, be set apart,
mm-hmm.
specifically, and we knew what our responsibility was. Now, whether it's church locally or whether it, what we're seeing happen globally, and we ain't even got to get into that,
uh-huh.
but what we're seeing happen globally, it seems as though the water has become murky. There's not clarity anymore. And this is not, it'll be ill-advised for me to be able to push all the churches in one bucket.
Mm-hmm.
But those that observe, mm-hmm. they don't see the church as separate.
Mm-hmm.
they don't know about the denominations. They just know about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And they know about the inconsistency that comes from Christians. Mm-hmm. They don't know they don't know that, oh, this might just be Baptist, or this might just be Anglican, or this is... They don't know that. They just know that if you claim Christianity, there is an expectation for you to be less than. This is what we've seen over the years. So I want to know about that. I want to know whether or not that kind of a tainted view is discouraging some things. Because let me tell you why. I've looked at some church, especially given the fact that online churches are wild now. Everybody's online on Sundays as a result of COVID. And I'm looking at these churches, and the religious rhythm and commitment that exists in the church within the confines of the four walls and not getting out into the community, not touching people in the community, that blows my mind. That you only go into church on Sunday for you to be able to participate, to say that, okay, God, I've done my part. Now you have 6 other days to do as you will, and let's see if I can refresh this thing again on Sunday. Let's talk about this kind of a mindset. How do we shift that to make them to understand that you being the light does not just, is not confined to a specific space and time, whether that's on Saturday or Sunday. How do you contribute this light to be able to reform our society, our community, for true growth as we move forward?
You know what I love, one of the things I love about the Bahamas is that when you look at government ministries, every ministry is called the ministry of, right? The ministry of, the ministry of. And sometimes I think it becomes critical to remember the necessity of reminding believers and empowering believers on a regular basis that they understand that the role that they play in society between benedictions is a role that is supposed to be the light, be the consciousness, be the people of excellence, be the people of responsibility, be the people of accountability, be the people that blow the customer away. Every single thing that believers do ought to be a witness to the fact that God lives here and that we are really, truly Christian. So the way we do our business, the way, and I'm talking about everything, the way we do our politics, the way we run our business, our families, the way we, see, people have to begin to understand that God expects of us, right? That if we have been given the power to become sons, then that power ought to manifest in everything we do, the way that we do it. And I think if more believers would get that and stop, I want to almost say this, let me say it like this. Stop thinking that it's just the job of pastors to be the light.
That's the mindset that exists in our society.
But we caused that, Howard.
I just said this.
See, we... But we caused
You're taking it deeper. I said the government caused us to believe that our expectation, well, watch me, the government has said to us the rhythm of what we were introduced to black Bahamian politics was Mosaic. Let's just be very clear. They introduced this concept to you in the rhythm of religion that you knew. And they gave you an idea that this is Mosaic. This is Moses. We are leading out. And as a result of that, the language that came thereafter was, we are doing the heavy lifting. We are wiping all the tears from every eye. We are, and as you ingrain this, all this is this conditioning, you know. That's why commercials play over and over and over, whether it's propaganda, whether it's conditioning, it sears into your mind, into your blood.
It becomes a part of your psyche.
And you believe that these people are the answer. And so now you render your strength. You don't have no more strength no more. Where your mother used to pray for you and say, baby, you got to go try it for yourself. Now her language has shifted. She said things like, well, baby, you want me to call the MP for you? And that's what we've done.
Yes, that's what we've done.
We've done that. We've done that. Rendered our strength, our talents. We've had it under a rock. And we no longer commit ourselves to community because there is an expectation that those that we put in power, whether that be the clergy, whether that be the doctors, whether that be the lawyers, whether that be the politician, these are the people that's supposed to answer and provide answers for the collective. I think that's wild.
Well, that again, I simply answer, speak to it like this. It talks about the type of leadership that we need now, right? We need more mentor leaders now, mentor leaders, people that are going to build leaders, people that are going to, okay, let me give you a simple example from the church. I can remember years ago when it hit me one day as a part of what we do with pastoral care. I had to say to people, you know something? Jesus one day had his disciples ask him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he taught them how to pray. In other words, there must be that type of mentoring where you teach people to fish for themselves, to pray for themselves, to seek God for themselves, and to keep the focus that my life and my sense of purpose must be grounded in God for myself, so that when I step out, I am making a contribution, not looking to my pastor to come pray for me, my pastor to come pay the bill, my pastor to come do this, the politician to come do that. See, we have had a leadership problem where we have told people, listen, don't worry, the church will take care of you, the government will take care of you. And we got a whole set of people that we raised up, all right, to not to be, interdependent. We've raised up a whole community of dependents.
And you decent when you say this. You decent. I appreciate your decency. And I'm going to be able to acknowledge.
I'm trying to be diplomatic.
I appreciate your diplomacy. But we've raised a generation of beggars. We don't say it like that. And there's no belief that we, the independent, resilient Bahamian people, are now relentlessly bowing and kneeling and hoping that someone give you something. Relentlessly, our arms are out, begging arms for an opportunity for someone to give you something. The other day, I started to have this kind of a conversation about the fact that social services needs to do an internal audit to find out whether or not people are really impoverished. Because there are a great deal of people who just going out there, except, well, if social services given it, I might as well get it. I can't get mine. Child Susie ain't going down there and get yours yet. Not that they need this.
No.
Not that they're in an impoverished position. Mm-mm. And they would justify their approach and acquisition of these things that are designed specifically for people who don't have. They'll justify that and say, well, I pay taxes in this country and they never give me nothing. This is the country that we have created.
That's crazy.
This sort of a concept and idea. And it goes even further. Because a younger generation, I just watched this thing on the TikTok, the little girl crying. She's about 19, 20. She said, I don't want to go to work. I just want the money. Can you just give me the money? And she's crying on TikTok. And they're making fun of her because this has to be a joke.
Seriously?
But she was serious. And this is the mindset that exists in people. There is a relentless expectation that someone give you something.
Or, where did all this entitlement come from?
I don't
from?
Know where it come from. I tell you, the conditioning has morphed and evolved into something. It created a monster. How now can we tame this monster, or at least cut off three of these heads? We have to figure this out as a society. We have to figure this out to get the strength back that we need. Because there's no expectation that people are going to run. See, and this is why, I can get deep. I can get deep. 2 seconds. 2 seconds. The reason why a great deal of our children want to live off to the United States of America and Canada and all these ready-made societies is just because of that. There is a belief that everything is already structured and fixed. I can just walk into an opportunity. Once I'm prepared and I have my papers, I can walk into an opportunity. This is not the mindset that existed in this country prior. Prior, our forefathers knew that they had to work, get their education, and come back and build. They knew that they had to build.
And that
build.
Was ingrained in them.
They know that.
Yes.
And I wanted to touch this with you when you start to say mentorship, mentor leaders, we need this now, right? We need more persons to be able to be mentors and thinking about these particular things. These are the type of leaders that we need now. That's the difference between the tangible and the intangible. We are in the dispensation of intangibles. We already didn't build in the buildings. All these things already didn't happen. We could see the tangible of our community, but the intangibles that exist, that mindset for you to understand, because we don't have no coming of age as a society. There's no, you don't walk through the bushes for 4 days and come out and say, okay, I'm a man now. We don't have any of these things.
No.
So we need mentorship, social mentorship. I'm excited about this conversation, my brother.
You're pulling up so many things. I thought when you said just now about intangible and tangible, you know, I remember the first time I stood up in our congregation and I said, wait a second, I want you to start thinking for a second. How many of you in here are hired to follow a job description? And how many of you in here are hired to think? the vast majority of our labor force is manual.
That's
They're
it.
Manual laborers. They're not mental laborers. And so because they are not expected. It's kind of their fault, but can I say to you on the institutional kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, kind of corporate side, that in a lot of ways we have continued a sort of sideline slavery. And what it is we don't need you to think. Just do what I say.
And I, my God.
Or vote for me and I'll pay you.
My God.
You don't have to really function. Just vote for me. And then I'll pay you to do something with your hands. What you want to do? You want to cut grass? Mind you, the lady or the gentleman has the capacity, mental capacity,
for more,
to solve major problems. But we're not challenging them with that.
No.
And see, this is why I keep coming back to mental leaders. We need more leaders that are going to say, that are going to, okay, kick the proverbial birds out of the nest and say, fly and go and bring something and come back. But I don't know how to use my wings. No. I've given you enough time for strength and I've given you all of that and I've showed you how to do it and all that.
My God.
Expect you to be back by such and such a time. But I don't know where to go. Yes, you know where to go.
You do know where to go.
Because we've taken you there on our back. Now it's time. Bring back something. And those who bring back something, all right, we'll put you in charge of the nest when you come back. And when you tell them that, when they get back, the ones that do take the flight, don't stand up there and still act like you're not old enough yet. You're too young to lead. You're too young to take the chair. So we can bring back somebody who walking with a cane and then had 2-stroke.
My God.
And all these things. And this is what we do. But that, it's not only in the society, it's in the church, it's in all kinds of areas where we see this happening.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be able to participate in this conversation after when we get back. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300-5720, or hit me up 422-4796. We're going to take a commercial break. We're going to get to news, and we'll be right back with none other than Dr. Clifford Smith.
The foundation. The foundation.
Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Nassau Cruise Port presents Phil Stubbs Live at the all-new Nassau Cruise Port Amphitheater.
January 13th.
Gates open at 7 p.m., showtime 9 p.m.
Book your tickets now at BahamasETickets.com.
General admission $50, $75 VIP.
Prepare to be blown away as we kick things off with one of the Bahamas' beloved artists. You're raking and scraping with Ira Store, Nishi LS, and Phil Stubbs Live.
Sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. Nassau Cruise Port. The place to be.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, the foundation. Guys, if you're in here and you're checking us out, make sure you check out guardiantalkradio.com, guardiantalkradio.com. Let me read these couple of things in here, because Nassau Cruise Boards, they want you to know that Zaymar Production presents Phil Stubbs live January 13th. Also performing is Niecy Ellis and Ira Storr. And the Spine Band, guys, go pick up your tickets. It's $50, general admission, $75 VIP. They're available at BahamasEtickets.com. It's going to be at the amphitheater. They want you to be able to be a part of that. If you're one of these people that can pick it up, go to the Plantation Bar, the Gorilla Caves, Caves Heights, and Miniso. I keep saying that wrong. Miniso Mall at the Mall of Marathon. You can be able to pick that thing up and get those things. Also, Kalik wants you to know the exact same thing. They're going to be able to partner with them. They're doing great things. They want you to know that both Kalik and Ron Ricardo got that thing going on. Pick up your tickets, like I said, $50, $75. They got Sky Pods, everything available. Make sure you go and take that up. BahamasEtickets.com. BahamasEtickets.com. It is a wonderful thing. When we left off, we were, having a very good conversation. I'm excited about this. Can I say that? Can you hear it in my voice that these are the type of things that really causes my spirit to jump? I'm excited about the potential and being able to talk about this course that we have. I had a conversation more recently that was wrapped in logic. Can I say that? And sometimes that there's no space for logic. I just want to be decent when I say that. There's only space for faith. And if you're wrapped in this kind of a logic, and you'll never come out of your house. You'll be walking around with a mask right now. You'll never come out your house. You'll be like a European backpacker with this big back on your bag on your back, trying to be able to prepare for everything. But you have to step in faith. This is where we are right now. I believe that we collectively as a community, and that may not be the whole 400,000 of us, maybe be 10,000 of us, maybe be 4,000 of us, but whoever you are, and you feel this kind of an unction in your spirit to step, it is time for us to move in faith to transform our little space, our little slice of paradise we call the Bahamas. And I'm here with none other than Dr. Clifford Smith, being able to talk to us all the way from Southside Christian Church and Dignity Gardens, and being able to do all the wonderful things that he does. My brother, I am grateful. I am truly grateful. Because you keep prompting my spirit to say some other things now. And I'm writing it down. I'm writing these things down because you and I are on the same page. Talk to me about it.
Mm-hmm. Before the break, we were talking about, the importance of building identity and responsibility and accountability into boys so that we could avoid, the criminality among adult males. And I think if we can do that, then we're going to, be in a position to produce more men coming out of these types of boys that are going to take their rightful place in the society. But there's so many other facets to it as well. I talked about church, family. I talked about it from educational standpoint, us building into boys. Mm-hmm. And I want to throw this out there. The all of the civic organizations that used to have like boys programs in particular, now more than ever, we need to go back to those boys programs. I just want to say this out because this is important to me. Boys brigades, scouts, RAs, whatever it was that was really uniformed paramilitary organizations building responsibility and identity in the boys. We need to get back to the primacy of them with a why. You see, some people just let it fall by the wayside because they forgot the why. The why is we need better men. Better men in church, better men in parliament, better men on the police force, better men in the civil service, better men in business, better men heading up households. That's what we need. And the only way to do that, if you want better men, you got to invest in boys. And so, everybody's got to pick up some program or something like that.
I got to say this to you. As you talk about with the why, that's heavy. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of persons perpetuate the concept and idea of the constitution that exists in our country. Mm-hmm. They perpetuate the idea of the independence that we can take and the sovereignty that is our country. Mm-hmm. But no one speaks about the why. Mm-hmm.
whether it's wrapped in the national anthem, right? That forward, upward, onward, together, lift up your head. Whether it's wrapped in there, some subtly talking about it, there is no application from a community standpoint. We don't see this why. There isn't a very clear path. Let's say, hypothetically, if we were in China, we knew the why. There is a 100-year marathon, and there is an objective beyond your existence. In fact, you only exist to contribute to the greater objective. So when you go,
that's good.
You got your family. We identify the passions that the family tell you. They ask you. They say, okay, this one can be in the computers. All right, this one can do this. Right? So, but they do it with a very clear understanding that there is a why. Watch me. And that is from the carnal perspective. That ain't even from a spiritual perspective. When you go to a lot of persons continue to be able to talk about Singapore, there was a why that transformed the community. Right? When you look around the world and transformation exists in these particular spaces, you realize that there was always a why. And one of the things that continue to be able to have us as a community, as a people, meander through our existence, just waiting from one button or one drink after another, from one alcoholic beverage, from one fried chicken after another, this kind of an insatiable desire just to be able to fill this void that we call existence, we meander to death. Because no one has identified the why.
You know, and I just want to kind of continue to push this one point on the area of men. I think we have some great men, some hard-working, manual laboring men in the Bahamas. We do. But a lot of them, and I want to say it just like this, a lot of them do not have their handle on the why. When I'm saying like that. When you go and you check all of the places that sell the liquor, all the bar rooms, all of this, all of that, you can meet on certain nights of the week, and sometimes it's every night. You just meet around there, pack up with cars. And when you go to check, it's the fellas. Now, a lot of them fellas, though, if you check out the men and they really get somebody to seriously show them the why they need to be home and why they need to be mentoring their children and why they need to be that covering and that support system for a woman, right? If they get that why, a lot of them, and a lot of them have that why in their head. If they get that why, then now they'll be able to say, you know what? I could skip tonight and tomorrow. I'll skip a couple of days.
This is heavy.
Because when I think about it, do I really want my children to grow up without the kind of coaching and without the kind of love that I know I could give them?
This is heavy, what you're saying.
Most men can say, no, I don't want them to grow up like that. So tell you what, I can cut off some of these days, man. I could give some more of this. Somebody asked me a question the other day. They said, Pastor, what do you think about the government building the shelters and whatnot for women and children? And I answered them, I said, I think the government has to do these things. Government is always trying to find ways to help people. I say, but y'all want me to be straight with you? The shelter that God made for a woman and children is a man.
My God, that's heavy what you're saying.
If you want to talk about building, let's talk now, but now let's have another conversation about building shelters.
So we're building men?
Build men. It gets back to what I'm talking about.
You're getting deep.
If you build, you want to build shelters for women and children?
Build men.
Start with the boys building into their head what men are responsible for.
Responsibility.
Leadership and providence and intellect and taking accountability.
My God, you get deep with me today.
If you want to build a shelter, build that. In other words, if I had the opportunity, I would be saying to any government, not just this government, there comes a point too where you got to take some money and you got to put it. Let's talk about putting money into shelters. Give the scouts and the boys brigade and the this thing and the that thing just because we're trying to build men. I'm not talking anything about women right now. As far as I'm concerned, 95% of the problems that women are having come from men.
My God.
So if you really want to build shelters for women and children, put money and financing into boys programs. It's time in the Bahamas for us to have somewhere in the Bahamas an all boys boarding school just for boys.
I like this.
If you put one out in Michael.
Unless
put,
what?
Put one in
don't
in,
confine
in
it
Grand
to the Bahamas.
Bahama. Put one in. You see what I'm saying?
If you confine it to the Bahamas, then you shut off yourself from the potential of being able to open it up. The world is looking for this sort of a disciplinary approach. Mm-hmm. The world mm-hmm. is looking for a place not to necessarily abuse their children, but to align their children. Locally, we have great answers in this country, you know.
Great answers.
We have great answers in this country. And one of the issues that a lot of are facing is diversifying the why. I wrote that down as you talk. Mm-hmm. There is diversity to the why.
Yes.
Right? And this is what a lot of people call independence and liberty. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be a hard, strong anchor of a why. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beyond the drifting of the possibilities that exist in other spaces. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a hardcore why, because there are some people that answer the why based upon their sexuality or their sexual preference, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They answer the why based upon their environment and say that as a result of my environment, this is my why.
Right.
This is my exposure. Mm-hmm, this is mm-hmm. But there needs to be a why that's
bigger than
all the subcultures mm-hmm. that speaks with clarity to say that this is the unadulterated course that you should be able to take. And I don't think we have that just yet.
Well, that is because, here again, as theologians and pastors in a Christian age where we're thinking about the principles of kingdom, we have not been at the front line, and we can do more. We can do more, and I mean all of us. We can line of basing that why and faith in a God that wants us to build society and develop people.
I like this.
You see, if we do, then after that, it doesn't matter whether you go in politics to run for the FNM or the PLP, or you go in business, or you go in education, or arts, or you go in wherever you go. The overarching why.
It goes with you.
Yes.
It travels and it's in your heart.
Yes.
It shows up.
Yes. It's a simple one to you, and your whole thing is, you're like this. You know, Jesus said, we're like the light on the hill.
My God.
You see, and when you understand that men don't light a candle and put it under something, but they put it there and light so everybody can see the light, mm-hmm. that must be the why. Every man, every woman, everybody in society has got, am I where I am? You know, there's some things that are pet peeves for me. This could take me into a little bit, but a little different, but it's the same concept. We have people in the civil service who get away with a lot of, you know, non-functioning simply because they don't have a why. A lot of them are tied into their politics and they don't understand, but wait, governments come and go, but there is a function that you have. There's a service area that you are supposed to be providing for the betterment of society as a whole. And if you think of that as your why, then you will do your job no matter who's in power, because it's not about your political alignment. And I know some people, you know, they don't like when you try to middle stream them like this. But no. The truth is, your functionality, your service record ought to reflect the why.
This is heavy what you're saying. The first thing I thought when you started to say this is that administrations one after another has mm-hmm. bastardized the why for government.
Okay.
Bastardized it.
Oh, wow.
They've created a space. See, I know y'all can't say this.
No,
I can say
no,
this.
No, no, no.
I can
no,
say
no,
this.
No.
I can say it.
But I fully appreciate what you're saying.
Praise God. They have bastardized it. You want a job? Y'all voting for me?
Mm-hmm.
Now you got incompetent people there who saying, child, I ain't even know how to cut on no computer. You think they can fire me?
Grant, you did not just say that.
Oh,
but it's real. It's real. It's real.
I ain't trying to fire Grammy them and Mama them. I'm not doing that at all. I'm simply saying that you have bastardized this why, mm-hmm. that you've gotten this with no prerequisites, no qualification. You stepped into this place. God bless you. But after you have acquired a position, did you develop yourself? Did you continue to be able to pursue education and prepare yourself to be able to contribute in the space? Because we need you. Mm-hmm. Even if you was answering the phone, and my God, if you was answering the phone, nobody answering the phone. At least you can answer the phone. I just want to be decent with you. I only say that, and that does. I don't want to be able to kind of hinge the conversation
solely on them.
In every subsector of our society, whys have been bastardized. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And is that with the introduction of capitalism? This kind of an all for me concept and idea. Mm-hmm. This they have bastardized the why. The why is collective. Mm-hmm. The why is we. Moving forward, upward, onward, together. We've lost that.
You're not going to have community if you don't have service.
Let me take a couple telephone calls. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. How you doing? Good afternoon to you, guest.
Good afternoon, my brother.
Okay, this is just my opinion. Prior to the Bahamas becoming independent, I think there was some stronger presence of Bahamian honoring, revering, and also having a fear for God. This is just my opinion now. It seems as if...
I agree with you.
The road to independence, when the political directorates came on board to try to win the independence, in order for them to get the Bahamians on board or the trust, they had to infiltrate the church.
You
could not get to the average Bahamian without first going to the church.
You had to go to the church.
And I believe over the years, what has happened is the church has compromised its people.
Ooh.
Right? It has compromised its people. And when the church found out that it was the government now was using the people no longer really trust pastors. They now, most of the time now, they look towards politicians. So I believe this is where we went wrong. How does the church now get back to the place now where the church take its stand, where the people now has more trust and care and concern that they once was? Because I believe politics now has been playing a pivotal role in controlling the narrative in this country, and has not has been doing well for the upward mobility where this country needs to go. But I think once the church gets its place where it needs to be and get out of politics and stop compromising, I believe this can in the right direction. Thanks.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate your telephone call.
I want to say something on that. The church and the message of the church prior to independence. My father was one of the preachers that preached in that generation with people like Dr. H.W. Brown and some of the others, Emmett Ware and all of them, and so on. But that message was a message of liberation from an oligarchy. And so there was the understanding of a common enemy to our social oppression. And so it wasn't difficult for that message to be widely disseminated. When you have now changed that, and we're coming up to majority rule day right now, and you have majority rule, or what happens is what the people vote for becomes the administration. Now the message had to change. And I think for an independent generation, the message should have been and could have been, and it's not too late. The message still has to be a message now of identity and responsibility. You know, one time it's about liberty. We're trying to get free, right? Now we're free. Now what? And an independent generation needs a different type of message in order for people, again, to take responsibility for the direction of the country. And so you're quite right. And I think it just means that at the clergy level, we have to do all that we can to change the message. And it's not that the message of the Bible has changed.
It started with the church.
It's just like, it started with the church, but let's go back. When they talk about Mosaic, you talked about this earlier. The message that Moses was giving and the message that Moses brought to the people of Israel when they were in Egypt and all of that, that message became, how can I say this, void when they got in the wilderness. In the wilderness now, they need a different message. They need a message that says, you're free now, but now responsibility is coming. And Joshua's message was, prepare you victuals because now you can get crossover. Now, victuals just has to do with get your own food, catch your own fish, put your own meat together, put your basket together. So when you get over now, you're in your property and go ahead and begin to develop because now God has freed you from Egypt. Now you have to go into the promise. And I think we've missed the whole shifting of the message. This generation has to be challenged with responsibility. And we've been allowing people to get away like we're still in the adversity of being caught up. We are no longer slaves. No one has an excuse. Everybody has to stand up and say, as for me and my house, this is what we're going to do. We're going to develop these kids. We're going to develop business. I'm going to work with my spouse. I'm going to be responsible, you know, because every home becomes a building block of the society at large. And we in the church have to continue to inculcate that sense of responsibility.
I love this because the very first thing that comes to my mind is this sort of an idea that started to talk about. When I say it started with the church, the politicians could not define the opportunity. They could not. They didn't have access to the opportunity without the church. They had to come to the church to ask. They come hat in hand to church asking for support. And when your pastor stand up, you lead with your pastor.
Right.
Now, the callers say that the church has compromised its people. I don't necessarily know whether or not it's been compromised by its people. The church has compromised its conviction for the most part and being able to bow or yield their autonomy, their power, and their position for the hopes and opportunity to be able to acquire something, some things. That doesn't be decent. I won't be decent. So now how do we fix this? 50 years in, as we're looking back over our lives, and, you know, retrospect, you know everything. Hindsight is 2020. You know all the answers now. You know now as you look back, and I say you, I mean the church. The church knows now as it looks back that as a result of us being able to waver, bend our convictions, this is where we see our society. Now we shave ourselves and be able to really sanctify ourselves and get back to the ordinances that we were called to. So it seems to me it comes right back, 180, full circle, back to the church, for the church to be able to lead us out of this, because there's nothing without this particular thing, without us, our faith to be able to step in this. And this kind of a bastardization of the way, right? This kind of a diversification of the way needs to be sealed up and get right back to it. Let me see if I can take a telephone call. Call on the line with us live. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard, and my good friend, my best buddy.
Jeff Delavaux.
Cliff.
What's up, Jeff? Jeff, you know everybody. You need to stop.
We grew up in Zion together.
What'd you say, Jeff? Jeff, call back. Call back. Call back on the 300-5720. I know that's your minutes. 242-300-5720. Call back on that particular one. We could be able to do that. Guys, the lines are wide open. If you want to be able to participate, hit me up. 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300-7220. That's a toll-free call. Or you can just hit me up on the text, 422-4796. This is very invigorating. These are the kind of conversations that I hope we can be able to carry with us. And I think I'm going to have to do this at least once a quarter.
And I'd love to be available to you.
I got to do this
because
once a
quarter. Because I know where your heart is. I hear you.
Every 90 days, we need a refresher, right? Every 90 days, we need a reminder. We need a refresher because it's sometimes we find ourselves caught in the malarkey of society that exists out here, whether that's the murders, whether that's the politics, whether that's whatever it is. And I call it malarkey because if we fix this core, if we fix this why, then some of the external issues and the existential things that you were talking about earlier, some of the external issues that we're seeing, be able to see those, you know, kind of drift off and be like a distant memory. I remember when we had triple-digit murders. My God, we move away from that, eh? Only 12 people get murdered this year. People. This is what we got to get back to, and I believe we can.
Howard, you know something? Most of the time, what's going on with criminality, and I keep coming back to it, is if families are not empowered, beginning with men, and we're not putting more Bahamian people in business, between family and economics and business, this is what more Bahamians need in order for us to have the kind of society that is going to, you know, really, really move better into the future. Let me tell you why I'm saying this. It is a very, very fundamental kingdom principle that a people that are redeemed through Jesus Christ and have a connection to the God of the Bible are people who are in business. They're not slaves. They're not employees. They are owners. I would say this quickly, and I hope it doesn't get away from anyone. But you see, one of the things that God told Abraham from the beginning, I would confirm the covenant with wealth. What is wealth for? Go back to the why. You need to be in the position where you can take care of your family, but you need to be in the position also where you can serve the kingdom without the distraction of low money.
My God.
When you got low money, you got to go to work. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do the next thing. When you are in business, right, you have several streams of income. So now you want to be that good Samaritan. You could do that. Why? You got the money to do it. Plus, you can take care of your family better. Plus, you can do some other things better. Why? That's the why. So now when you talk about small business, like this would have been your Small Business Thursday, we need more Bahamians to understand that it's God's will for you to be in business. It's God's will for you to be connected. Yeah, it's God's will for you to be in business, right? And if you understand that, it's not hard to see it. Go back in the Bible. From Abraham all the way to Peter, James, and John and the fishing business, Jesus never told them to throw away the fishing business. In fact, what he did was when he called them, he paid them one day with a big catch of fish.
If you
put the figures, the modern figures on it and add up what he did, God paid the fishing business with Zebedee and them for 3 years. There was enough money coming out of that one catch.
As a child, I often think about that. You know.
For 3 years. Why? Why did he do it? The why was he was trying to teach Peter and James and John them how to catch men. It takes time to do that. And they can't be worried about
If my wife okay.
They can't be worried on the road that their family isn't okay while they're following Jesus.
My God.
So Jesus made sure to fix that. Then after he died, went to heaven.
And he wants to do the same thing for us.
Yeah, when he died and came back, and after the resurrection and the end of the book of John, he did it again. He just showed up to Peter and them and say, hey, by the way, don't forget, I got you. Go and make disciples. But in the meantime, here's another catch. And he lowered the boat up again. Go back and look at it.
And they couldn't believe it.
No, and they couldn't believe it. And what I keep telling Bahamians, I keep saying to our people, you know, if I had it right now, Jesus's day, his people, that was a seafood place, Sea of Galilee, all that. What we have in the Bahamas, we got sea too, but then we also have tourism. Mm-hmm. So I've been telling my people with business, look, you need to know it's God's will for you to have several streams of income. If you don't have an Airbnb, build one. If you got two pieces of property and this one living and we got one and that one and one and, man, look here, the two of y'all sisters moved together, fixed this house over here, turned that to the Airbnb, whatever. You know, drive, don't go and buy the car for yourself. You know, get into to the car business. Buy some jet skis. Get into whatever you got to do. Do a tour operator's business. Cook. Clean the Airbnb. You might not own the Airbnb. Open up a little company and clean the Airbnb. But whatever it is you're doing, find something touristic. Because in this jurisdiction, whatever's going on touristic makes sense. And watch God bless you through it. And when the Lord blesses you through it, don't forget the purpose. Mm-hmm. The why is so that we can influence people and lead people to a better life under the kingdom of God without the distraction of short money.
This is crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm enjoying this conversation enamored, wrapped in the thing. I want you to participate. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family Violence 242-300, 5720, or hit me at 422-4796. I don't know if this is you, Jeff. You got to let me take a commercial break. Don't fight me. Quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and be right back after this.
Foundation. Foundation.
Nassau Cruise Port presents Phil Stubbs Live at the all-new Nassau Cruise Port Amphitheater.
January 13th.
Gates open at 7 p.m. Showtime 9 p.m.
Book your tickets now at BahamasEtickets.com.
General admission $50, 75 VIP.
Prepare to be blown away as we kick things off with one of the Bahamas' beloved artists. You're raking and scraping with Ira Store, Nishi LS, and Phil Stubbs Live.
Sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. Nassau Cruise Port. the place to be.
Start your day off with a mouth-watering deal. Available only at Wendy's. Introducing our new weekday breakfast deal that gives you a choice between three delicious items for $3. You heard right. Monday through Thursday mornings, you get a choice between our bakery bliss croissant, breakfast baconator, or a three-piece pancake meal. Each only $3. Stop by your nearest Wendy's today. Better mornings always start at Wendy's.
Champ, baby girl, cable guy's here.
Since the very beginning, you have been with us.
This is Paul Wave, and this is called the Internet.
Okay. For over two decades, we've been with you every step of the way.
Carolina Weibo is total class. Look at her go. She's in front.
I follow me. I'm
so yeah, times may have changed, and so have your needs as our valued customers. But some connections stand the test of time. Red, we're with you.
Nassau Cruiseport presents Phil Stubbs Live at the all-new Nassau Cruiseport Amphitheater.
January 13th.
Gates open at 7 p.m., showtime 9 p.m.
Book your tickets now at BahamasETickets.com.
General admission $50, 75 VIP.
Prepare to be blown away as we kick things off with one of the Bahamas' beloved artists.
You're raking and scraping with Ira Storr, Nishi LS, and Phil Stubbs Live.
Sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. Nassau Cruiseport. The place to be.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company. Last time, I got to remind you guys, go get your tickets for Phil Stubbs at the Amphitheater Nassau Cruise Ports with Zaymar Production. It presents Phil Stubbs Live on the 13th. Also performing Nisi Ellis, Ira Storr. Make sure you pick up your tickets. $50 general admission, $75 VIP, BahamasETickets.com. BahamasETickets.com. Get all your information. If you want to be able to go to Plantation Bar, Grill and Grill at the Caves Heights, and also the Miniso Mall at the Mall of Marathon, you can be able to pick up your stuff like that. Get that thing taken care of. Guys, I got to do this. The lines are wide open. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the Family Violence, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. As the caller been waiting. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Bahamas.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I am unstoppable. How's everything?
Praise God, you're unstoppable. I like that. How's my brother?
Apostle Clifford Smith.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I am unstoppable. It's not Vic Lamar, James the First here.
Hey, Bishop, what you saying?
All is great, man. I am calling in connection with all of what you're saying, and I know I spoke with Mr. Grant also. All of what you're saying, remember now, I was one of those persons at the Simpson Pen as the superintendent there.
Yep.
I have since moved now to the men's desk for the Department of Gender and Family Affairs.
Yes, yes.
Okay. I want all of these brilliant ideas that you have. I want to sit and let's discuss that. We can only take this nation back when it takes brain like your brain and other like your brain to come together and let's see what we can do about taking the nation back. And this is serious business. They've given me the portfolio of the men's desk, and I am tapping into trying to find every area to get with the men. I want to get with all of the lodges, the fraternities, the men on the street, and all of the men from every facet, every walk of life, and see if we can do what I will call a participatory program. That participatory program is basically, we don't tell you what to do. You tell us what you think we need to do, and we can put a fixed program to that effect. Mm-hmm. So I take a pause now and hear what you're saying.
Oh, no, I'm ready now. I'm ready. You call me, Bishop. You call me, I'm ready now. I asked God mid-year last year. I said, God, give me men and boys in this next season. And I restarted our Boys Brigade Company at Southside. And then I've redeveloped our King's Club. We have a King's Club that we mentor men and we're putting stuff in. So if I can work with you, my brother, in the community side, hey, I'm here. We got to make this happen.
Exciting.
Because I'm in the Y. You know.
I got you. Let me point out something to you that the nation did not know, and I see that I have this opportunity to say this. While working at the Simpson Pen, we've had, this forced me to start a program. We've had more fathers coming up to the Simpson Pen to see their sons than mothers.
On
visit. See, even though we feel like the boys have gone astray and they've gone so far, they still have fathers working towards making them better. As a result of that, when I left there, and not just that, we had boys passing BJCs at Simpson Pen, the Penn Pratt School, BJCs with A's and B's.
That's what I'm talking about.
But nobody knows that because, of course, nobody's saying it. Now that I'm no longer there, I could say it. And then you are the father. So I formed an organization called FLIRT, Fathers Learning, Instructing, Realigning Team, to try to get the fathers. We've had one program last year to get the fathers to bring their craft and show the young men their craft. If you're a pastor, bring your robes, bring your Bibles, bring your whatever it is. If you're a lawyer, bring whatever it is and share with boys that this is, we have to transform the nation. Because it's the same boys who are doing the same thing over and over. This nation is not lost when it comes to that kind of crime because it's basically the same boys. And if we don't transform the thinking of the boys, that's all they know. That's all. We were able to have young men who we went incident-free from Simpson Pen for at least 4 years straight, incident-free, because we were dealing with transforming the thinking of the men. We took the metamorphosis mentality of the butterfly. Caterpillar could turn into a butterfly, but a butterfly can never go back to being a caterpillar. So that was my concept of transformation. And those young men, as their mind changed, as they started to think differently, it made a difference. I forced them to use their brain.
Wow. They
literally, use your brain. You get one of them right in your head. You use it.
See?
And they started thinking that way. They started thinking that way.
You got it in your head. You might as well use it. My brother.
I say to them, now, when you give me the story, now you know you're lying. One thing I'll say to them now, let me ask you the question. Do you believe what you said just now? No, sir. Well, if you don't believe you when you said that, how do you expect me to believe you? So now they have to think. They had to think. I forced them to use their brain. And we had completely different set of young men who came up there, even though they were charged with everything they were charged with, their thinking changed. And that's the whole concept of the transformation of our young men, transformation of our generation, transformation of the whole community. And with the plans that you have, if we can sit together and see how we can complete the why, we'll make a difference.
You know, a very good friend of ours wrote a book called Mental Toughness for Success. And I believe that what I heard you talk about just now, simple question. Don't you have one of them in your head? Use it and think. And you know, I've always been of this opinion. It's not what we tell people to think, but it's the challenge that we put on people. It's not what you think. It's how you process information.
Right.
You see? And if we could teach boys at that level how to process, think, and solve problems, imagine the kind of men that we're touching the next generation with. So my brother, Bishop, you right on. I appreciate you.
I was sharing something with a coworker just now. Every boy, by the time I left Simpson Pen, everybody, and I'm not exaggerating this, every boy was telling the next boy, when they were sitting, I'm having dialogue, conversation, they say, hold on, you gonna waste that lie like that? Because I always tell them, if you're gonna lie,
I love it.
You have at least three parts. You have at least three lies for the day. Don't waste it. So they would tell the next one, listen, hold on, don't waste that lie. You heard them thinking, don't waste that one. And as simple as that is, it's all because they started to use that brain that they have.
Thank you.
It is. We expect for this transformation. We expect for this whole thing to work. We expect for all of these things, but it's not to them to think. They did not know they could have. And this might sound off, but they did not know they could have, because the only thing they think of is what was said before them, their paradigm. And until we change the paradigm, and the only thing paradigm is other people's habits.
Wow.
If you can get your own habits,
Bishop,
they can now transform you.
Bishop, I want to thank you, man. This is wonderful. I thank you for your contributions. You got to come down here and let's see if we could be able to squeeze one out to 2 hours. You promised me that we're just going to get some time to do it. You ain't never called me. Talk to me.
I just, I just sent you a WhatsApp, now you will WhatsApp me back.
Praise God. I'm not going to fight you. Bishop Chadwick, thank you so very kindly for your telephone
call. Happy New Year, Bishop.
Blessings to you also. You all be safe.
Blessings. Before we get out of here, I want you to be able to talk about it. And, you know, I want to kind of wrap up the conversation and what we're talking about, resolving to evolve. Today, you put heavy emphasis on males, more specifically alpha males, understanding their positions, moving into accountability, and being able to teach that to boys and creating the men that we want in our society and that we envision. And also investing time in young men's programs, identifying those particular programs, and focusing on family. Man, listen to me, you going deep today. We talked about this. He talked about mental leaders needed now, and being able to develop the intangibles that we started to talk about. And I really like this kind of a conversation. So I want you to be able to talk about this. I can give you the floor to be able to kind of wrap it up. And I'd like you to be able to say a soft prayer for the nation as we move and travail and matriculate through 2024. Talk to me about it.
I think now more than ever, we need to change our perspective and look at things the way that God sees them. Sometimes, like I said at the beginning of this discourse, we only look at the problem at the back end rather than looking at the front end. And I want to really, really emphasize that from family matters to leadership principles to mentorship to business to spirituality, whatever area we're looking at, we have to begin to invest in young men the kind of brains and the kind of mindset that's going to focus on all of these different facets and really come out as better and more reputable men when they become adults. And so I think I really wanted to begin like that, because I think sometimes when you need better oranges, man, you need to stop going to the food store and go to the farm.
My God, that's the truth.
Go and take some fertilizer and find the new plants and start going from there. It's going to take time because you're going to have to wait on the next season of harvest. But at least you would have made that investment, Mr. Grant. And if you do that, it will shock you down the road what you come up with. You're going to come up with a bumper harvest. And here's the legacy. Just think. These are the people that we left behind us because we made the time to invest now. It may not pay off until the next decade, but it's going to pay.
It's going to pay.
You have Bishop James, he's talking about boys that were in the program and all that. It's going to pay off if you put the time in. And so I really wanted to really push at the front end. And then the whole thing with business for me, I'm a big proponent of Bahamian people being in business. And I think if I were in government, one of the lessons we needed to learn from the pandemic is when so many people in your country, as a part of this populace, are working class manual laboring people, the pandemic almost shut us down altogether as 100%. A country. And the only reason why we are still in the state that we're in now, kind of better than most, I believe, around the world coming out since the pandemic, is because of tourism. So any kind of business, if I were government, I would put a why to the whole thing of small business development. What's the why? I don't want to happen that what happened in the pandemic. I don't want that to happen again. I don't want all these banks closing down on my people and this and that. Well, how do you do that? Put more Bahamians in business. Put more Bahamians in business. God needs to be the source, all right, and the provider, and the government needs to be the facilitator. Help Bahamian people in business to make it and believe and recognize that this is God's will for Bahamian people, so that at the end of the day, we have a better society that's able to, you know, I always say, you know, rich people might be dodging taxes and stuff. People are always talking about that. But boy, people who got money, they don't have a problem that much paying the taxes. Why? They got the money coming to do it. It might be a different percentage level, but it's the same. When you have more than one stream, you know, it's different. It's different from the guy who just making $350 a week and just barely making it and still got two children. How do you do that? I don't know how people do that, Howard. I don't. But I see us, if we don't move beyond that and say, how can we put more of these Bahamians in business? You know, don't keep coming down on the jet ski people. Regulate the thing. Set up stuff. set up centers where people could drop off and pick up them jet skis and whatever, and put the people in there. I mean, whatever needs to be done, it is my concerted opinion that we could do a lot more with setting up Bahamian people who are people under God in business, because this is God's will. This is God's will. And if we get that, make a big difference in this country, Howard.
My brother, you are an amazing. You're really amazing today, and I want to thank you so very kindly for your contribution. Every time we sit together, I say, man, you know, I wish I could get some more time. So we're going to have these kind of conversations more often, because I'll be engaging you and talking like this. But I'm grateful to you. And one of the things that we carry away today from this conversation is focus on family and put a why. Put a why to it all. It's time to be able to identify your why.
Yes.
I'm going to take this telephone call 30 seconds, and then I would like you to be able to say a soft word of prayer. All right, 30 seconds. You got. Go ahead.
That's all I can need. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
And happy new year to you, Howard, and Apostle Clifford Smith.
Yes, sir.
This is Irv Rule.
Oh, Lord. Happy 2020.
You used to be by New Hope, round the corner from by me. And the last time I saw you was the Kirky Wedding on Gamichael Road, the church on Gamichael Road. You still there?
That is correct. I am still there.
Okay, well, I guess one in 30 seconds, I guess I'll give you a word of encouragement.
Thank you, Howard.
We grew up in Zion together, man, in the 70s, 80s. We grew up in Zion. Every New Year's Day, we used to be on the side of their house by the Peeps, by other Pete doors. For years, at least 50 years, we meet up to the Peach Stem every New Year's Day. So this man is like a brother from another mother to me. So I want to give encouragement to you and your family and everything. The last time I see Mrs. Jackie Smith, she was in Exoma. I give her a hail. And great air in your voice. How I haven't seen you in at least 10 years now. Great air in your voice.
We got to fix that this year.
Happy New Year and wish you and your family the best.
Thank you. We can fix that this year. All right.
Yeah, we can fix that this year.
All right, Rule.
All right. Thank you, my brother.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come before you today believing that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And through Jesus Christ, you are the God of the people of the Bahamas. Father, we know your will. You've got plans for this country, plans to give us hope on a future, plans to bless us and not to curse us, plans to bring us to a place, God, where we are fully engaged in the purpose that you have raised us up to pursue. And so, God, even now in the name of Jesus, I come against every force that have been launched against the mindset, firstly, of our men, every force that's been launched against our prosperity, against our destiny. And even now, we shut down the plans of the enemy. We push back, Father God, by your grace and your mercy, every spirit that would try to bring destruction, that would try to bring us to a place that we're not headed. And instead, God, we thank you for your wisdom, your knowledge, your love. And I pray, God, that you would lead your people out of adversity in this season to a new level of revelation, that, God, we would step into the plans that you have for our lives. We thank you. We ask a blessing on our government, a blessing on all those that are serving in any capacity, a blessing on those in the civil service, in the public, in the private sector. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that, God, you would lead us to a place where, yes, we would see ourselves moving forward, upward, onward together as we seek, oh God, to pursue the purpose that you've raised us up for. Now, God, hear our prayers. Bless Mr. Grant, his wife, their children, the work of his hands, God. I cover him today in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, for all of those that are connected in any way to the concepts and the ideas and the knowledge and the wisdom that, God, you continue to give us through these efforts. Hear our prayers now and let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, for yours is still the power and the glory in Jesus' matchless and mighty name. That's the name we know to pray. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you so much for tuning in today. Thursday, we're taking a different course, just being able to talk about these things, realigning ourselves from a spiritual perspective. We're going to do that all January. We're going to be able to talk about finances. We're going to talk about majority rule next week, and we can continue to be able to get into these great conversations. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Clifford Smith, being able to come in here. Guys, check out Southside Christian Church.
Southside, I love you.
Southside Christian Church in Dignity Gardens. Let them know to come check you out, man. Guys, yeah, you got to be able to do that, guys. It's 2 o'clock. We are out of here. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Tomorrow, we have none other than Pastor Mario Moxie going to be sitting with us, having great conversations. We're going to take this, not the commercial break. I want to thank you so much. We're going to see you tomorrow. God spare. Have a beautiful day, guys.
The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. 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 The foundation. The foundation.